Welcome to the Well Podcast. We'd like to thank you for joining us as we discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. Our services are online at 10 a.m. on our YouTube channel. You can learn more about us by visiting us at gotothewell.church and follow us on Instagram and Facebook. You are loved.
All right, how are we doing? Everyone watching online, here in person. So good to see you all. Man, this is exciting. The month of July is all about getting our core teams together so that we can begin to identify areas to make sure that as we bring people back, as our plan is right now is August, is that we can do so safely and effectively because we want to be a part of the solution to our community, not part of the problem. So we are so thankful for your prayers, so thankful for the way that you have partnered with the Well. Man, it is so neat to be here and to see church council members, or part of our welcome team, our worship and tech teams. And I can't tell you enough how much I want to brag about them. They have gone above and beyond, not only for Sunday mornings, but for discipleship, for Roar coming up. All these different things have been huge. So if for whatever reason you are still disconnected, maybe you watch and then you don't really engage anyway, can I encourage you, please engage, comment online, join a Connect group, share the information, join our Facebook group, short of come knock on our door and we'll wave from the other side. Like, whatever you got to do, get connected. I can't tell you, 120 days will change you. One of our team members brought that up today, and it just kind of, I think it's hitting me right now. That's a lot of days. Like, some of you, this is your longest relationship. It's been with COVID and this quarantine. So, man, 120 days. Craziness. Well, this is what I know. God uses all things for our good. And I love it because even when there are difficult circumstances, things that we do not want to experience, God uses it to deepen our faith. And that's a little bit what we're talking about today. I feel like the church is being challenged in such a way that it's not like a challenge like you're being persecuted challenge, because we're not being persecuted. It's a challenge of like, what are you going to do? It's like, you know, you get picked on a little bit, and you go, what are you going to do? How are you going to respond? I am one of four boys, and all we know is how to instigate. And I wish I said I grew out of it, but I didn't. So whether in conversation or with me and my brothers, it doesn't matter. Someone's going to instigate something. And I wish at the age of 35 that wrestling is still off the table, because it's not. One of the reasons why I'm thankful for COVID season, not COVID, but like the quarantine, because my brothers can't beat me up. Anyway, but this is an opportunity for us to grow. And so I want you to write things down. I want you to write down the things that God is teaching you, the things God is revealing to you. It may be through the message, or it may be a whisper from the Holy Spirit. But when we begin to learn to write things down, I've got my Lectio Divino journal right here, ready for Sunday notes. So go ahead and grab whatever you have to write this down. Now, we are talking about a series into Psalms. We started last week, Psalm 42, and we learned what it means to suffer and how it's okay to be at odds with God sometimes. That is okay, that he is not afraid of your emotions or your fear or your frustrations or even your doubt. That he is willing and able to receive every part of you, even the broken parts. Today we're going to look at Psalm 100. Psalm 100 is one of my favorite psalms. Psalms is a collection of poetry, of songs, of laments, of celebrations. One psalm you're reading, and it sounds like the latest emo album. And then the other one, it sounds like, you know, it sounds like Kirk Franklin going crazy with praise. You know, there's just this like this crazy dichotomy that just happened. Like, oh, woe is me, too. Like, let's worship. And so I love that. And sometimes I struggle a little bit because I'm not a musician. I'm not allowed to sing. I've been told that by everyone in my church. Sometimes I struggle with that. But what I love is you can also see it not just translate through music and patterns and way things are set up, but also in the way the stories are told, the way movies are done. One of the things I love, one of my favorite movies of all time will always be Star Wars, and even the bad ones. 7, 8, 9. And what I love about it is when you listen to the creator of Star Wars, his name is George Lucas, if you didn't know that, welcome to reality. But he says it's all about poetry. The story is all about poetry. What happens to the father can very well happen to the son unless something changes. And that's one thing I love about this psalm. Now, we, living in the state of California, welcome. Those of you who live in other states, enjoy your less taxes. But for us in California, this is how we live. And one thing that we have been asked to in our churches is, hey, can we refrain from singing when we're in a large group of people? And social media is funny, right? You start to see how people respond and react to different things, and people start like freaking out. Like, oh my gosh, you're trying to take away our rights, or, you know, crossing the state and church line. Oh, they're trying to persecute the church. And I just, sometimes we just got to take a step back and really look at what the concern is. We're not being asked to stop singing because we're told not to worship. We're asked to not to sing, the same reason why you're asked not to go 80 miles an hour with no seatbelt. We're considering the safety of ourselves and others. And so for a season, because again, like I said earlier, we want to be a blessing to our community, not a curse, we have to make these choices. And so I wanted to come to Psalm 100 because in Psalm 100, it kind of, the author, the psalmist describes what is worship. What is worship? So if you haven't turned there already, it's the middle of your Bible. I'm going to read the entire psalm to you. It's 5 verses, and then we're going to break it down together. But as we do that, I want you to lift your Bible. I want you to lift your note-taking devices because I believe God wants to speak to you this morning. Lord, would you speak? Lord, would you open your word to us today? Lord, would you reveal the things in our heart and our mind that may be hardened? Lord, there may be some things in our heart and our mind that are against you or against other people. Lord, would you teach us? Would you grow us? Would you develop us so we can be more like you? In Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Psalm 100 says, make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come into his presence with singing. Know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. Enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him. Bless his name. For the Lord is good, and his steadfast love endures forever, and his faithfulness to all generations. Like, we like that psalm. Like, woo, let's go. That's summer camp right there. Like, that's exciting. We love Jesus. Like, that's good. But this whole thing has a structure. It tells us to do something. It tells us how. And then at the very end, it tells us why. The why is very important. The why is going to determine if you're going to continue to do something or not. Most of the time, we face struggle when we're doing something, whether it be school, whether it be being a parent, whether it be being a part of a relationship, or whether you name it. Same with the job. Why am I here? What is the point? Why should I even continue doing this? When things get difficult, it's easy to forget the why. And we forget why we praise. We forget how to praise. The first verse here, verse 1, this is a declaration of joy. This is a celebration. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. This is a shout of joy. He's telling us to get loud. You know what's crazy? You don't have to sing in order to get loud. You can yell. You can clap. You can stomp your feet. You can get loud. The greatest worship services I've ever been a part of were never in a church. They've been at concerts when people are worshiping something other than Jesus. But when you're in a pit, like when you're at a crazy concert, like Mason, you know about this with your ska stuff. Like, when you're in a pit, like, you don't have a choice where to move, do you? No, you get pushed wherever you go. I remember growing up, I went to this church, and we had these, like, punk rock bands, and these concerts come, and people go crazy, crazy. I heard about this girl who got a concussion, and so we had to stop them at our church. Come find out later, that was my future wife. Before I met her, she got a concussion at my church. But they, man, they're clapping, they're screaming. Everyone knows every word of the song. People are doing crazy, ridiculous things. And you get into church. When I heard that, people like, hey, don't sing in church. I'm like, well, that's half the church. They're already doing that. They're pros. But it was, we were like so reserved. Like, oh, I have to just, I'm in church. He's saying we need to make a joyful noise. We need to make it all over the earth. This is why it's important. So now, how do we do it? How do we make a joyful noise so that all the earth hears? Number one, it says that serve the Lord with gladness. See, verse 2 says, serve the Lord with gladness, come into his presence with singing. We're like, okay, there's the singing part. I like this part. But this is great. It first says, serve the Lord with gladness. See, I don't think this verse is specifically talking about singing it all like a, you know, corporate worship setting. No, this is when you realize that serving God is no longer a burden, but an act of worship. See, when we serve God, we're serving that you're that's what we've talked about it. Because he's Emmanuel, he's God with us. He's not God, do something for me. So when we serve, we're actually with God. So we are serving with God. We are no more like God than when we're generous and when we're serving. You get to do what God's doing. You know what happens when you really enjoy the work that you're doing? I don't care if it's like your dream job or if you're just taking out the trash and having a good day. You know what you do? You sing. You hum. It's like a little tune. You get a little step. You know, like you just got this like, taking out the trash. Like it doesn't matter. You just, there's this joy that kind of overcomes you. My family and I were complete nerds. And we have a new little dog. When I say little, he's 7 months old and 60 pounds. But his name is Wilson. Based off our favorite quarterback from the Seattle Seahawks, the greatest football team in the world. And our dog is from Seattle. Anyways, so we come up with horrible songs. Like, they're just dorky songs for Wilson. Me and my kids, we just sing in Aaron. We just sing it throughout the house. You don't get to experience it. I'm not allowed to sing. But you just hum. It's just like, I whistle while I work. You know, like the Seven Dwarves. You're like weirdly taking care of Snow White. But this idea that we whistle while we work, and we just go, and there's just this enjoyment. There's something about being in the presence of God when serving him, where you just get to hum, you get to sing, you get to be with God. And and what happens is we become so busy complaining and grumbling, we don't get to sing. Because instead of going, God, man, I get to do this, we go, God, why do I have to do this? God, why am I doing this? Why am I in this job? Why am I with these people? Why am I doing this position? I want to be on that stage. I don't want to be cleaning this toilet. I don't want to be doing this. I don't want to be done. We complain and we grumble. And so even during quarantine, is that's what we can easily fall into is a posture and a culture of grumbling. Why do I have to do this? Why is the government telling me that? Why can't I do this? Why can Home Depot be open? And why, you know, this can't be? Because I've been to Home Depot like 20,000 times. Why it has to be reopened. What we end up doing is we grumble, and we're so busy grumbling about our government. We're so busy grumbling about our environment, grumbling about our circumstance that we have no time to sing with the King. Some of you, the only thing you need to change in your life is just keep your mouth shut a little bit. I don't mean to sound harsh. I really don't. But sometimes we just got to stop. Maybe don't type that comment. Maybe don't post that post. Maybe just take a moment and just sit back and begin to enjoy being with your Savior. I know it's hard. I know some of you watching right now, you're working 12, 15, 16-hour days in the hospital. You have stocked more shelves than you've ever stocked in your entire life. And I get it, you're tired. But do you know that strength comes from being in the presence of the Lord? Complaining and grumbling will just tear you down. This is what happens. When you begin to love, when you serve, your ability to serve will become louder than any song that you could sing. Because you're a servant, and that's who God is. Number two, it says, know that the Lord, he is God. Verse 3, know that the Lord, he is God. It is he who made us. We are his. We are his people and the sheep of his pasture. This is all about identity. See, it says this, I know who I am because of whose I am. Know the Lord that he is God. And it's one of the most freeing things in the world. You're not God. Like, if you applied for the job, they would laugh at you. You're not God. You're not God. Everyone watching, you're not God. That's good news. But we have to move beyond that to know that he is God. And because he is God, you realize that I am part of something bigger. I'm not alone. Ed, you're not alone in this world. Courtney, you're not alone. You're part of, when you invest the 24 hours you invested yesterday in Roar, you made an eternal impact for generations. You're part of something bigger. You're part of God's family. And when you're part of God's family, he brags about you. He goes, man, Amanda, that's my daughter right there. Did you see her? Did you see what she just wrote? Isn't that awesome? Look at the creativity I give her. Man, that's incredible. And look at Mason. Man, he is, look at that. Man, that's my boy right there. People, God he just oozes. Like, this is why parents can be so annoying. Like, you're around a parent and they're just like, they just don't stop talking about their kids. You're like, really, there's other things in life than your kids. And in our life, we go, no, there isn't. They don't let us sleep. But that's how God feels about you. And I love this. It says that not only are you his people, you're the sheep of his pasture. We're going, great, we're called sheep. You're the sheep of his pasture. That means you're under his protection. Like, that means you walk in and you've got God there going, what's up? You want to mess with my sheep? Like, I'm here. Like, let's go. He says he protects you. He covers you. And I don't know if you've ever been in a vulnerable position where you felt like you just need someone to rescue you. You know that deep cry, and we talked about last week, that when your soul thirsts, you have a God who protects you. And sometimes he protects you from things that you want. But he still protects you. Because he is God and I am not, because I am his, because I'm under his protection, I now have confidence to know that my mistakes cannot and will not define me. I now know that I have the confidence to choose faith instead of fear. This is how I worship, because I realize it's not about me, it's about him. So I know that he is God. I get to serve him with gladness. And number 3, I get to enter his gates with thanksgiving. Verse 4 says, enter his gates with thanksgiving, his courts with praise. Give thanks to him and bless his name. This is a good thing. When Jesus came, sacrificed his life, died on the cross, rose again, sent the helper, the comforter, the Holy Spirit in us, we now become the temple of God. You don't have to travel down the street to enter the temple of God into the gates of thanksgiving. All you have to do is say, Lord, I'm here. See, the gates of thanksgiving are everywhere. Wherever you are can become a gate of thanksgiving. This is huge for us to understand. Because corporate worship is important. We support that. We believe that. Acts 2:42 talks about the fellowship of the believers. We're all about that. But that can only be the peak of the iceberg. I want you to throw up that graphic. See, if we consider our worship life, our corporate worship really should just be that top section. Just that little bit. That's a big part of it. It's our Sunday morning praise. But this is why in order, like, hey, don't sing in church should not affect us. Okay. Because I'm serving people with God over here. I'm being obedient in all things. I'm living out my identity with Christ. I have personal time of praise. I can live and I can operate at home. I can worship God. I can praise him all day long. If you are only praising God on Sunday, can I encourage you to grow your iceberg? Because there is so much more underneath the surface. If we are only praising him when people can see, can I encourage you to repent? Would you come before Jesus and would you just allow things to be stripped away? And just simply come. Come to him. So whether you are in your car, whether you're at home, whether you're at your job, whether you are in a hospital room, one of the most precious times of praise I've ever seen has been a family surrounding a loved one as they pass. It not being fair, it not being okay, but there was a choice made to enter into a gate of thanksgiving, to be able to sing, "Blessed be your name, Lord, you give and you take away. Lord, blessed be your name." And today, as we worship, as we continue in our worship, I'm going to invite Aaron and Jessica back up. We're going to conclude the message here in a little bit, but I want us to take a moment to pause. Because I believe when we change our posture of worship, it can begin to change our attitude and begin to change our outlook on life. And what happens when those things transform, we're able to love God and love people at a greater level than we were ever before. So whether you're in here in person right now, if you want to get on your knees before Jesus, if you want to lay out before him at home, if you want to just take a moment to stand, take a moment to kneel, take a moment to just be with him. I know the dog might be barking, the kids might be playing, whatever may be going on. Would you just stop and take the moment? Can we just come before the Lord? He says, make a joyful noise. That joyful noise right now in the season may be your tears. It may be putting your hand on your spouse's shoulder and praying for them. Would you just stop? We just come before Jesus. Make a joyful noise before him.
When the music fades, all is stripped away, and I simply it's all. sorry, Lord, for the thing I've made it. When it's all about you, it's all about you, Jesus. I'm caught up in your presence. I just wanna sit here at your feet. I'm caught up in this holy moment. I never want to leave. Oh, I'm not here for blessings. Jesus, you don't owe me anything more than anything that you can do. I just want you. Jesus, you don't owe me.
So the psalmist tells us to make a joyful noise. All the earth, make a joyful noise. He showed us how we do that is we simply by serving him, by knowing that he alone is God, that he alone is your peace, that our identity is in him. But we also learned something else, that he's faithful to every generation. And this is the why. In verse 5, it says, "For the Lord is good. His steadfast love endures forever, and his faithful is to all generations." He is faithful in all generations. You know, when you choose to enter a gate of thanksgiving in your home, instead of arguing and yelling and screaming, you know what happens when you enter that gate of thanksgiving? Your kids learn how to deal with conflict in a healthy way. They learn that mom and dad need help too. And when you start getting your kids praying for you, oh my goodness. But what happens is it's from one generation to the next, to the next, to the next. What was once a generational curse can become a generational blessing. And as we look at this and we consider this, we get an opportunity to teach, to show an example. During pre-service prayer this morning, we play a song. We go around and we pray for people and pray for you, praying for online campus. We just pray, and I just felt, and my son was walking with me next to me, and I just felt God saying, "Just pray in the Spirit." It's one of the most effective prayer tools you have in your praise tools in your arsenal is to pray and to worship in the Spirit. So I began praying and worshiping in the Spirit, and my seven-year-old is holding my hand, goes, "Dad, what are you doing? Why do you sound like this?" He began emulating what I was doing. And so it was a moment I said, "Well, Jude, this is called speaking in tongues. This is called a spiritual language. Well, how do you get that?" And I explained it to him about, you know, you just seek the Holy Spirit. You don't fake it. Don't emulate it. Don't try to pretend it. But just seek out the presence of God. And what was happening, generation to generation. It's why we do things like Roar. Is so that people know, that children know, from no matter if their circumstances are good, not no matter if their parents are struggling or not, that God is good. His love endures forever, and that he is faithful to all generations. He's faithful to your parents. He's faithful to your grandparents. He's faithful to you, little one. That's the why. That's why we make a joyful noise. Because God is good. His love endures forever, and it's bigger than me. And what a role to play. What an opportunity we have to be able to bless and to serve and to give and to enter into thanksgiving. And for many of you who may be watching, you go, "Well, how do I access this?" It simply starts with a yes to Jesus. Jesus is the ones that go, that one that went before us. It took all of our suffering, all of our pain, everything that we deserve. He took it upon himself so we can experience the freedom and the grace and the forgiveness of the Father. And if that's you at home or even in this room, you've never discovered Jesus, I want to invite you to discover Jesus for the very first time. Make the greatest decision of your life in this moment. And it's just simply saying yes to Jesus. So I want to encourage you, if you're at home or in here, would you just bow our heads? And bowing our heads isn't anything special. It just allows us the time to focus. And if you've never given your life to Jesus, would you pray this with me? Jesus, I want to discover your love, your grace, and you for the first time today. I am far from you and want to be brought near. Thank you for dying for my sin so that I can have abundant life. Lead me all the days of my life. Teach me to display your love to those around me. Amen, amen. Well, if you gave your life to Jesus today, we want to celebrate you. Make that joyful noise. There's going to be a link in the comments right now if you're watching online that you can click on to get all the information. We want to give you some stuff, get to know you, and help you through the discipleship process. If you're here in person, we're still figuring that out a little bit, but we will have a Discover bag for you and a gift to just, again, help you in your discipleship journey. But maybe today you already know Jesus and you're processing through what this means. I want to encourage you to encounter Jesus at a deeper level today. I want you to write your own psalm. I want you to take a moment, even all you non-creatives, take a moment and just write your own psalm. Write your own declaration of praise, or maybe it's a lament. Would you just sit down with God and would you say, Lord, would you speak to me? Would you speak through me, or help me to speak what I'm feeling inside? And begin to write it down. And begin to see what God does in you and through you. Maybe it's building your life of praise. You're going to make a decision today to say, hey, my house, that's going to be a gate of thanksgiving. My bedroom, a gate of thanksgiving. My car door, gate of thanksgiving. My little cubicle that I cannot stand going into, that's going to become a gate of thanksgiving. And begin to see the way God changes, not just your attitude, but your life and your impact for those around you. Well, if you are at home, grab the person's hand next to you because you're allowed to be in quarantine with them. But if you're in here today, we are not grabbing hands, but you can just extend your hands to Jesus right now. And we're going to pray. We're going to thank him. God, you are worthy of praise. You are worthy of honor. God, thank you for the privilege that it is to make a joyful noise to you. Lord, allow our action, our heart, and our words be loud to all the earth. Lord, let us choose compassion and justice and mercy. God, help us to not be offended by everything, but be building us a way to combat with things in a way that bring love toward people. God, thank you that we are under your protection, your care. God, we pray for healing for those homes that are suffering right now, the communities that are suffering right now. Lord, would you bring healing in a quick resolve to this virus? God, we thank you for all the things that you're doing, all the things that you are. We praise you and we thank you. In Jesus' name, we all said, amen, amen. Come on, give him praise this morning. Have a fantastic Sunday or whatever day of the week you're watching this online. Cannot wait to spend more time with you. Get involved in Connect Group. Sign your kids up for Roar, and we cannot wait to continue to spend time with you. Have a great day.
Thank you for listening to the Well Podcast. If you would like more information and to stay connected, visit us at gotothewell.church. Visit us again next week as we continue to discover, encounter, and display the love of Jesus. And remember, you are loved.